Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to the official Geek Speak podcast. We are now 40 episodes in, Josh.
Woo!
I'm your host, Sean, and joined as always is my co-host, Josh. Incrediboy! I'm not affiliated with you, Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for? Hey, Josh.
I don't know how I feel about being compared to Incrediboy or Syndrome. Neither of them I enjoy.
You are compared to that moment. Incrediboy, I'm not affiliated with you.
Which part of it am I a part of?
You are the interaction.
Cool.
Normally we go through a different Disney Channel original movie, or DCOM for short. So we see how the biggest media company on Earth with Disney, we see a very large sample size and a relatively short period of time, like 15, 20 years with so much media coming out from one goal. And we see how the quality changes, etc., how they cater toward children. Not today. No DCOM today. Last episode we did the ultimate Christmas present, which was existing.
It is a thing.
Yeah, it definitely existed, right?
Sure.
And what do you mean, sure?
Look, things happen and then the brain forgets, and it's best that the brain forgets these things.
Why did it have an earthquake setting?
Why did it have a kid randomly say, like, oh, every time I do this, I end up on a child loss list or whatever it was?
Oh, yeah. That's not my favorite movie. This is, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. We go through a different movies and TV shows and through pop culture. We look at the news of the week, or in this case, the 3 weeks, and we see just what pop culture is doing, what's popping, what's happening. We are once again putting off our Fast and the Furious franchise episode because of me. I have now watched 1 through 5,
Woo!
And I will be watching 5 through 10 very soon. I do have Fast X news in our news, though. So,
as all news pieces should have.
All news pieces in the world should have Fast X. So the submersible news, the 5 billionaires, if you're related to Fast X.
If you somehow can't tie that back into Fast X, then you have failed as a journalist.
Well, Dom Toretto could have saved them because they're family. We also have, usually in our episodes, a super weird story, which is where I go through a different thing in comic books or superheroes or media around it and just have Josh blind react to what I have to say. Not today. There's so much.
I'm very oblivious to many comic things, but today is not a day to prove how dumb I am on these things.
To prove how dumb you... Do you have something to prove with this podcast?
What don't I have to prove?
I want to know.
That's a question you'll find the answers to maybe never.
Are you doing okay?
Look, there's a thing called being tired, and my brain is on it constantly. The caffeine never works. Maybe I'll try cocaine.
Last episode, John ranted about Little Mermaid and how bland he thought it was. You were wrong, bro. I saw it. Ocean pretty, romance cute.
Okay,
I
would like to update my thoughts on it because I gave it some time and then I saw it again with my mom. I do think that it's fine.
The power of moms compel you. Go on.
However, when it's doing the same thing, I found it to be very boring. When it was doing new things, I found it to be very good. And so it just made an even more frustrating experience because I'm like, I really like the new stuff. I like the romance. I like how they updated like Eric and Ariel. I thought that was well done. But then they felt the urge to do the same thing. And I'm just like, no, you could have done more different things. No. And it's just, it's annoying because the potential is right there.
Ocean pretty, romance cute.
Ocean felt boring to me.
You're boring, bitch.
Well, I also like Avatar The Way of Water now, so now all oceans need to look like that, so ha.
You also have, you are a flip-floppy little fish.
I am of the belief that if you're a person that loves film and a filmmaker and stuff like that, if your opinion
just keep flipping.
Yes, if your opinion does not grow and change with you, then you're bad at what you do. There you go.
I agree. I think you're in the span of how short you can flip on something. It's amusing sometimes.
Okay, I gave Avatar like several months though before I saw it again.
Movies came out though this past month.
They did.
I watched the first time last night. No Hard Feelings. It just came out recently. Nice. Really fun.
Loved it.
It's got some issues about the whole age thing and the maybe sexual assault thing with one, but or attempted with that. But also, it's not that serious in this. It's really. I understand people are trying to say with that, but I think if you bring it up too much, it kind of misses the message of the movie about the helicopter parents and all that stuff.
Like it not only does it have like a decent message at it, it also acknowledges from the get-go that what like they're hiring her to do like is not a good thing, and the film constantly is making a point of that.
Right, and it cares like her friends bring up to, or people around his life bring up to her, but hey, you shouldn't be doing this. And it's not like in a licorice pizza way, where it, like correct. They come together at the end. It's not like that. I read about this to my girlfriend Nicole. Josh, your review spoils two jokes that are not in the trailer.
I don't give context to it.
No, but it ruined those scenes for me when I watched it.
It's fine.
I knew it was coming. Any joke that's not in a trailer for a comedy should not be in a review unless you put a spoiler warning. Because it's like, oh, that's the jokes are the spoilers.
I put it as vague as I could. You don't know when they're going to happen. You don't know who it happens to or who does it. So I say it's fine. That's my 10 cents on the thought.
I will fight you on that.
Well, you're farther away, so ha. Try to throw a punch from California, bitch.
Asteroid City also came out, the new Wes Anderson film. If you like Wes Anderson, you'll probably like it.
That is a film I have so many thoughts on, but it's the kind of film that I need to see multiple times to really gather my thoughts on it. Because on the surface, it's, you know, a Wes Anderson movie, like, from that kind of point. But it's probably the most complex in terms of, like, how his characters are written and the themes that are present in it. And that's all I'll say about it. Very fun time, though. Highly recommend it, even if you haven't seen a Wes Anderson movie.
Elemental also came out.
I loved it. So good.
We got Rise of the Beasts, which is just we get to see Gorilla Robot fighting other robot. That's always fun.
I binged the Transformers series before watching Rise of the Beasts. Those movies are insane. Bumblebee is great. And then this one is good. It is fun. I really enjoyed it.
I stand by the CIA stuff in the first Transformers movie. Could be almost entirely cut out.
There are so many things in that movie that the CIA, the military, all that could be cut because, you know, as soon as we learn, like, what the Autobots are, it's just like, okay, and then you have those two subplots that are still trying to be like, what is this alien robot thing? It's like, we already know.
But great opening scene, though.
Oh, yeah, the opening scene is great.
Out of the list of these new releases, I've not seen any of them yet, really, besides No Hard Feelings. I haven't gone to the theater much. I was on set this past weekend, and I was on set again recently before then, too. So I've just kind of been been a little busy, but it's cool. This week, we also will get Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Yep.
Don't redo that.
I'm not going to redo it. Don't worry. I think it's going to have people in it doing things.
I am looking forward to it, and I rewatched Kingdom of the Crystal Skull because I haven't seen it since.
You thought it was fun now.
Yes.
Other thing about that movie, though, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Harrison Ford prefers it over Temple of Doom.
I agree. I think Temple of Doom has the better action set pieces, but I think overall quality-wise, Crystal Skull is better.
Also, Ke Huy Quan came to the premiere of Dial of Destiny.
He did, and now I'm forever more mad that he isn't in the damn movie.
And he brought one of the actors from Temple of Doom with him, who was his friend. I think that's pretty fun. We got delays! Josh, things are getting halted because of WGA and other stuff just going around. Are you prepared to hear what's going down, what's being slowed?
What has been delayed, and will I either cry or say yay, or both?
Oh yeah, we haven't done yay or nays yet for anything, but it's fine. We, generally on this podcast, we have a yay or nay system because art is subjective and who cares what's good and bad? It doesn't really matter. And we know with Josh, things will flip and flop. So, also, that's also why you take nothing we say seriously, really, with our good or bad, because ask us in 2 months, 3 months, a year, we might have different opinions. You know, it's fluid.
Please remember, I am an idiot. We are both idiots. I can't speak for Sean on that matter, but I can at least speak for myself on that matter. I am, in fact, dumb.
You actually just spoke for me by saying I'm an idiot and then said you wouldn't speak for me.
This proves my point. I am an idiot.
We have delays for Avatar 3, 4, and 5.
This one, this is so funny because the fifth one was supposed to come out like when we were in our mid-20s. Now the fifth one is coming out when we're in our 30s. I don't like that fact.
Avatar, I actually have a note on that later on, but actually, you're here. The main Avatar films will end in 2031.
That's insane.
Also, that note said main Avatar films, meaning he wants to do spinoffs.
That doesn't surprise me, but just a matter
finish
of...
Finish the one series first.
Yeah, and him saying like he wants to do like, you know, more than like, Jim, buddy, by the time the fifth one comes out, you're going to be in like your mid-80s. Like, maybe James. You'll have one more.
James, Jimothy, Jim, come on. We are getting delayed on both new Avengers films, King Dynasty and Secret Wars. So we have both King Dynasty and Secret Wars are getting delayed, as well as Blade, Fantastic Four, Thunderbolts, Captain America. Daredevil has also halted production right now because of the WGA strike, which I'm good. Keep halting stuff. That helps solidarity. Also, Deadpool 3 was moved up.
That's insane.
So thoughts on all these delays and maybe one move up for no reason.
So the delays are obviously good, just given the whole situation and everything. The ones that are either like currently filming, like Captain America, it has me worried in terms of quality. Apparently Thunderbolts just started filming today. Again, that has me worried in terms of the quality. And it's like, I understand from a certain perspective of like, yes, they have to, you know, get these out in a certain time frame and everything. I get that. But at the same time, like, you can't make stuff during this time. Like, you just can't. Like, I get people need to work, but also, like, you know, I would rather, you know, writers be fucking paid like a livable wage. And, you know, if there needs to be creative adjustments, like actually be able to make them while you're filming it and not, you know, come back like 6 months later and spend another $100 million reshooting almost the whole thing because it didn't work.
Well, they have to film as much as they can right now because SAG will probably go on strike soon.
That's true. I mean, I'm here for it. If as long as the system gets changed, like, yeah. And I don't know if, do you have the news piece about Squid Game?
No, I didn't include it.
Okay, but essentially, Squid Game made Netflix almost $1 billion. It was huge. But because the creator of the show was basically a no-name and had nothing, not only did they basically make him sign over like the intellectual rights to it to Netflix, he also gets no residuals for it. So despite it being a $1 billion franchise, he has made almost nothing from it, which is bullshit.
Yeah, I also learned something similar about Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. Devin Werkheiser, who played Ned, did it with a few has done podcasts recently just talking about being a Nickelodeon kid. And basically, they don't get residuals. No leads got residuals.
Fascinating.
Only supporting actors. Like in Drake and Josh, neither Drake or Josh got residuals, but their dad, like the dad character did, the mom character did.
So like the adults got residuals, but not the kids?
Yes.
Interesting.
And it was a power play by Nickelodeon. Because they knew what they were signing. Like Devin said that he, between seasons, when he got bigger, it's like he's trying to renegotiate because he had lawyers in the first contract. He knew what he was signing. And he thought, we'll renegotiate between seasons. And they tried that. Nickelodeon said, no, we'll just recast you. There's a million kids who want to play Ned. We can find any of them. It's like, wow. So that sucks. Studios, please be better. Please.
That just makes me wonder now, like, what about, like, Disney Channel? Because they made even more, like, kid shows like that. Like, was it a similar thing? Or was it, like, not as bad? Because, like, think about, like, mid-2000s, like, Disney Channel shows. Like, fucking Hannah Montana, like, alone, like, was insanely huge. Not just from a show, but, like, as a icon. So, like, I wonder what Miley's pay on that was.
$2.
Oof.
No, but a lot of Disney kids had a... pretty bad too. They've been very open about that. That payment was never that great or consistent, that there was other issues, etc. But I'm not a Disney kid or a Nickelodeon kid. I don't know. I wasn't raised in that world. I'm glad I wasn't. But I'm glad things are being halted for the most part. Deadpool 3 being moved up is the most worrisome thing of this.
It's so strange to me that they're going forward with it because of how improv heavy like those movies are. and Ryan Reynolds not being able to like improv because legally like he can't do that with how the strike works.
And here's what's funny about that to me is that if he was just an actor, he could still, but being the producer also means he can't.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. I mean, it's a funny, like the way the small little stringy, like the, not stringies, stringies, the small little loopholes, contingencies, etc., that just weave their way through these kind of contracts are hilarious to me.
But also, like, it could just be that a lot of them, like, they're just going to plow through it. And then, you know, once the strike, you know, goes, you know, stops and everything like that, whenever that is, they'll just go back and then reshoot however much of it. Because that's just apparently, like, you look at a lot of Marvel stuff and, like, yeah, like, this was changed, this was reshot, this was redone. And you can tell quality-wise because most of reshots are done just on green screens. So that has me worried with a lot of the stuff.
We got trailers, Josh.
Trailers,
including when we just watched both of us together, the Bird Box Barcelona trailer.
I don't care.
I like the first one enough. Okay, I gave it originally watched it a 6 out of 10. Like it's fine. I enjoyed it when I watched it for the most part. It had a lot of problems, but like you know what, good performances. I liked Tavante Rhodes. I liked Sandra Bullock enough. I didn't like her character. Like boy, girl. You'll have names, whatever. I don't know. Very dumb.
Because it's about motherhood.
Which made it more dumb.
Look, man, I don't know what to tell you.
But the spinoff seems maybe better. Who knows? I don't know.
Look, you got Diego Calva from Babylon. That's enough to maybe get me to see it. But other than that, it's just Bird Box in a different place in the world. Like, it doesn't really look like it's offering anything new, substance-wise.
Yeah, somehow it has a crossover with The Quiet Place.
I swear to God.
I'm going to give this trailer an A.
I give it an A. I don't care.
I give a yay, though, to this trailer next up, which that's a good way to, that's how I talk. To this trailer next up with Challengers starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. The trailer looks interesting. I think people are really hung up on the eroticism of it, but I don't think that's the focus on this really at all.
Like, it's going to be in there, but that's not the point of the movie.
No. Like, it seems like the affair, the sex, and the romance stuff will play a big part, but then they use that scene in the trailer very specifically to draw up buzz.
And it worked.
I mean, it looks good. It looks like it'd just be about an intense person, and I love that. And it's complicated relationships of adults having weird things going on, and the determination, and the leg. Ow.
I'll definitely take like this kind of film over Bones and All, because it's from the same director who also made Call Me By Your Name. Love both those films, both good. But this one seems like it's more up my alley, just in terms of like me being able to enjoy it. Because Call Me By Your Name, I can't revisit Call Me By Your Name because of Armie Hammer, and then Bones and All. It's one of those films that like it's very good and very well done, but that's a very like I can only watch it like so often.
This looks fun. I don't know if fun's the right word. This looks interesting.
It looks interesting. I'm very curious to see exactly what kind of a movie it's going to be.
I do think it's funny to go from teenagers to like adults and nothing really changes in their looks at all.
I think
she got a haircut.
Yeah, Mike. They all just get haircuts.
It's like, at least in TV shows, they usually change style. They have different makeup, something like that. But nope. They look like it could have been the next week, you know? No difference. Like, interesting. But yay, this looks good.
Yay.
Did you watch the trailer for Elio? It's Elio, right?
I think it's Elio. Yeah, I saw it when I was seeing Elemental, and I thought this looks like it'll be a fun premise. I like that Pixar is still going to be making original stuff.
I don't like the Pixar human model at this point. They've kind of done one model, it seems like.
Like, it looks more similar to Luca than, like, their, I guess, more recent stuff.
Yeah, it does look most similar to Luca, but, I mean, they have a very bubbly look in general, I guess, for the recent films.
I would say nah. Like, you look at Soul, Turning Red, and Luca, like they all look different. They all have a different style.
Those are all my examples of the exact same look for that, me. But that's
I highly disagree with you there.
Oh, I don't mean in the like, style's wrong word. I guess just the character molds look a little too similar to me. I mean I would like some more. I'm just a little looking more different, but that's fine.
I would say, like, if you want to complain about that, I would say, like, the Disney anime films would be the one to complain about with that.
I will complain about everything, Josh. Don't you worry. Elio does look really, really good overall. It looks very... I love the space look of things. Looks very fun. I like the cosmic stuff. I enjoy it. Yay.
It'll be fun.
Did you watch the Avatar video game Frontiers of Pandora trailer?
I did. What?
I
no.
sent it to you.
I know you sent it to me.
No, I don't care. It looks boring to me. I mean, it looks like the movies, and that's boring to me.
Well, you're boring then.
We've discussed. I want a compilation of all of Josh's thoughts on each episode about Avatar whenever it comes up.
It changes all the time. Is this gonna be first person? Oh, it's gonna be first person.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cooler in VR. That'd be cool.
If you're gonna do this, then do it for like VR and first person. But like if I'm playing like as, you know, a Na'vi, I wanna like see like, you know, my tall giant cat person creation.
Why?
Because I think it would be cooler to see that. But not just like standard first person shooter, but granted, this is made by Ubisoft, so that doesn't surprise me.
Is it Ubi, not Ubi?
I don't know what it is anymore.
I've never heard of Ubisoft.
Ubisoft, it's one of them. I don't care.
Ubi.
I'll probably get this when it comes out, but I'll have to wait to see if there's like, you know, good reviews and stuff of it.
This trailer, I give a nay. Because I don't want more of this world. James, please stop.
I say, yay, give me more of this, James, just to annoy Sean.
No, we're on to other weird animalistic news, though, with trailers.
Why is there more weird animalistic news?
Because we have Kraven the Hunter movie news.
Oh, Lord, we're going to get into it with this one.
The poster looks good. I'll say that first. The poster itself is a good Kraven poster.
It's ripping off Black Adam, which is ripping off Black Panther's teaser poster.
This isn't ripping off anything. This just looks like Kraven in the comic books to me.
I mean, he looks like it in the poster, but we all know he's not going to look like that till the end of the movie.
For one scene.
Literally.
He rips it off and goes shirtless the whole time instead. This would be a good poster if it reflected the trailer.
The trailer is not really Kraven.
Bad. It's a cool trailer for the year 2002.
The only positive that I can say that I'm at least looking forward to the R-rated action of it, because the kills look good. Everything else looks bad.
Josh, Kraven now has lion blood in him, so he gains lion powers.
All right, so this is problem number one. Kraven has powers. Now, this has happened in comics before, but it is literally what makes him a cool character is that he has no powers and he's able to take on someone like Spider-Man and like best him toe to toe. Like, this is,
you know what? This reminded me of the trailer itself. It reminded me of Cruella because of the style of marketing the movie as, I'm so bad, I'm a villain, but really in the movie, I'm a good guy.
Yeah, like Kraven is literally going after like the people that work for his dad.
Like in this trailer, the tagline of this is villains aren't born, they're made, which is such a lazy ass tagline.
I feel like they've used that for every Sony villain movie. I feel like they've used that before.
My point is, that's the same kind of stuff they use for Cruella, but even in the trailer for this, it's, I'm going to kill all the evil in the world. It's like, what do you mean? What is the vibe then?
He's not really, his dad's Russian, but he himself like isn't really Russian. And I don't think that his name is even Sergei Kravinov.
I think it's Boris. I'm pretty sure it's Boris. I could have heard that wrong. I've only seen the trailer one time. I didn't want to watch it again, but I thought they said Boris. I'm like, that's not Sergei.
It fucking kills me that he gets lion powers after being mauled by a lion and the lion's blood like drips into him. Like, I know we're I get we're operating off of comic book logic here, but still, like, how does just normal blood from an animal just turn you into a superpowered being?
Somehow it was in the same experiment as the spider, Josh, because why not?
I swear to God. And I'm calling it now, the rhino fight of the guy turning into rhino. That's going to be an end, like either an end movie tease or an end credit tease. We're not going to get to see him fight rhino.
They'll team up to fight Spider-Man. They'll team up with Morbius and with Vulture.
You see,
I think Spider-Man's behind this.
And the bad thing is that like after Morbius, I can fully see them doing that shit here.
I know. Something to do with Spider-Man, I think.
And I feel bad for Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's a great actor. I love seeing him do action stuff, but like, and I get that he did this like more so as like a career thing and especially for money, but like, really?
He would have been a better Batman than Kraven for sure.
Better Batman,
Nightwing,
James Bond. God,
any other comic book role?
There's And
honestly, if he came back as Kraven but in the MCU, that could have been interesting. Because, like, you look like my brother. What? Yeah.
And it's why is this the first one that's rated R? Why is this the first rated R one? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, Venom, Morbius, like, no, Kraven, that's the one.
What's upsetting is this could have worked. You could have done a very standard Kraven story and have him fight Venom or something like that. You could have done that so easily.
But nope, because we got
that could have been good.
God damn it. And the director has made good stuff before. Like,
or even have it be Rhino still, but have it be a normal Kraven story where he's like, there's a Rhino person rampaging in New York City. And so it's not like I'm being a hero to stop him. That looks like a good prey. Let's go attack. That's all he needed to do. It writes itself for you.
And yet they constantly choose to not go the route that makes sense.
It's fine. We got to have the weird have sex dance from Matt Smith in Morbius. Remember that song?
Don't remind me.
Have sex. What is that song? What are the lyrics to that song?
I don't know. God damn it. The director of this is an Academy Award nominated writer. Why are you here, dude?
Work. It pays.
I know, but still.
So yay or nay on the poster?
I'll give a yay to the poster. It's a decent poster.
Yay or nay on the teaser?
Hard nay. I never wanted to see this movie, but I know I'm going to, more so because I hate myself.
You need to fly to me or I'll fly to you to watch this movie, Josh, because we did it we watched Morbius together in theater with the same energy we need to watch this. In fact, let's come in full, like, Kraven cosplay.
Wait, I don't know if I actually should see this for my own health, because when I saw Morbius, it literally, like, destroyed my back.
All right. Y'all know that Josh got his back broken by Morbius?
Yeah, he really blew my back out on that one.
Totally. Dan Stevens is now in Solar Opposites, replacing the predatory boy.
I thought he was going to do... Justin Roiland.
Thank you. Fuck him.
At first, I thought that he was going to, like, do an imitation of it. It's literally just his voice. That's also, even funnier.
You couldn't guess. We're out of trailers now. We've moved on.
Crazy.
We're into my section labeled Other News.
But yeah, him just doing his regular voice is infinitely funnier than him just recreating it.
Oh, it was so funny. And that's what I thought they would probably do with Rick and Morty, too. Something like that.
I feel like with Rick and Morty, though, like, they're too, like, famous for their voices, so I feel like they're gonna just get imitators, which that's not a problem. That's fine.
Cast Dan Stevens again. Just make him the new Justin Roiland for everything, no matter what.
Look, as long as I don't get any more of Justin Roiland just improvising as Rick, just going off of bits for you know, 10 minutes, then good.
I don't watch Rick and Morty. I don't watch Solar Opposites. I'm just glad that I saw the clip of him of how they did the recast with the voice changing gun. Fucking hilarious. That was great.
Yes.
Anyway, Dan Stevens, great casting for this. Yay.
Yay.
Josh, we have more Wes Anderson news.
More?
Yeah. As in, we a movie came out. That's news. That's right. Right? It happened. We also are getting Wes Anderson filming his 13th movie later this year, starring Michael Cera. Have Wes Anderson just make Scott Pilgrim again, but
in his style.
What do you think?
Yes. Yes to Yay. All that.
Yay?
Yay.
How about it's Michael Cera with Aubrey Plaza together for Wes Anderson? That'd be great.
I say yay, more so just so that way they can do what he said recently, like back when they made Scott Pilgrim, they both joked, it's just like, what if we like got married and immediately got divorced so we can both just say, oh yeah, my ex-wife, Aubrey Plaza, or my ex-husband, Michael Cera.
I'm surprised they didn't do it.
It would be hilarious.
But anyway, the idea of Wes Anderson beginning filming on another thing, I've seen two of his movies. I've seen I Love Dogs and Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Those aren't bad but they're great. You should see his live action stuff.
I plan to. It was just happenstance. That's the only two I've seen at this point. But I don't know. I vibe. I dig it. Sure. Wes Anderson keeps doing stuff. But besides that, we have news that revolves around ghosts, Josh.
Ghosts, like the spooky kind?
And busting them.
Oh.
But not in a sexual way.
Ah. Or could it be, no, Doom Patrol what? Shows in Doom Patrol there are sex ghosts.
What are you saying? Where are you going with this?
I'm literally going with it. In the show Doom Patrol, there are literally sex ghosts that are just fucking in the house, and there are literally sex Ghostbusters that have to stop them. Again, that show is batshit insane, but it's amazing.
Well, they're not busting the ghosts like bust those balls, bruh. Not like
that's,
that.
That's not. That is not how I was saying it.
Right. I'm clarifying. It's not. We're not doing a sexual busting, just like a ghost busting. No, I'm so sorry. Leave all this in. I don't care. Have you seen the new logo for the new Ghostbusters movie?
Yes.
I will look at it right now. It is the same, but streaky.
Streaky?
Streaky. There it is.
Oh,
things be happening. To me, it looks like, I zoomed in this, it's icicles.
Oh.
It looks like ice.
I think that is what it is.
I now just have more questions.
I think they finished filming it like right before the strike started. And they filmed it in London, which, okay.
Is McKenna Grace coming back, right?
I believe she's coming back. Paul Rudd's coming back. I think most of the cast is.
I almost said Timothy Chalamet. The other frog boy. The other one. You know, Mike Myers. Not Myers, nope. You know, Mike Wheeler. Don't tell me his name. You know, the frog.
I'm not
He's the frog in Tom Holland's mouth.
Finn Wolfhard.
That's the name. Thank you.
Yeah, McKenna Grace is coming back.
The frog.
The kid that played podcast, Logan Kim, he's coming back. Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon.
Ooh, please cut out my frog rant.
I will. Ooh, Kumail Nanjiani's in it.
Or don't. I don't even give a shit. Finn Wolfhard, if you heard me call you a frog, I'm reciting the meme. I'm so sorry. Well, this but the logo, yay or nay?
I give it a yay.
Josh? Ready for my Fast X news, some of it?
I'm always ready for Fast X news.
So, according to the accurate world of the internet, Fast X is now on digital.
Yes, it is.
And I have seen 1-5 now, meaning I actually, if it leaves theaters, I might get to watch it. I can still watch it. Do not worry, we'll get to it. We have a guest planned for that episode, and he's cool waiting. He told me, pace myself. Because he knows it's too much normally. So yeah, I'll get to it. But we have more Fast X news.
Good.
And it's also Minecraft movie news. And that Fast X and Mario, the Minecraft movie, Fast X Part 2 and the Minecraft movie will come out the same day.
Love that.
And that day specifically is... I lost it. Doesn't matter. They'll come out the same day. And what's hilarious to me is both of them will have Jason Momoa.
I love it.
Is that a yay?
That it's a very yay.
You can do a Jason Momoa double feature of Minecraft and Fast X Part 2.
This is the next Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
But Josh, I have even more Minecraft movie news.
How could there be more?
Crazy. Three things in this news piece, actually. First off, you'll begin filming in August. Notice what I said there. Filming. It's going to be live action.
Oh yeah, I fully predicted that.
But it's confirmed where it'll be a live action movie. That's like absolutely not like Lego movie style or anything like that. Actually live action. Please have Jason Momoa just be himself wandering around and calling it Minecraft. But here's the other part of this news. They're filming in New Zealand, which actually makes a lot of sense for the terrain in the game of how it's every possible biome you can get. So cool.
That just raises so many more questions.
So watch, like, we're walking through Middle Earth, but instead it's Minecraft.
I have so many questions.
I want Matt Berry to play every single Minecraft mob, every sheep, wolf, cow, creeper, skeleton. He's all of them.
Okay,
and his face plastered on them.
I can't remember if we reported on it, but I think the director of it changed again.
Yes, we did.
Okay, yeah, the director.
But also, you're not acknowledging how horrifying what I just said was
about
Matt Berry. The idea of Matt Berry's face plastered on every single creature in the game.
I think you mean that's a good thing.
You think that's a good idea?
You're telling me you don't want to see and hear Matt Berry's luscious voice everywhere you go?
So you're telling me you weren't okay with a creeper in Minecraft that's about to explode with Matt Berry's face attached to it somehow?
If I was involved with a creeper and he was about to blow me up, but it was just Matt Berry, you know, doing Matt Berry things, I'd be like, you know what? I accept this.
So a green little beanpole with Matt Berry's face on it?
Yes.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Yeah, this is yay? Question mark? I'm excited for anything that's coming out with this, because even if it's terrible, that'll be a fun experience. Hey, you ready for more Disney live-action remakes?
No, not in the slightest.
We're getting more.
I know.
We're getting Bambi? Directed by... It was in talks directed by Sarah Pauly, who is...
Why?
You're not aware who Sarah Pauly is. She is just won an Academy Award for women talking.
She is a Academy Award winning writer and director, wrote and directed Women Talking, a film that could have nothing more to do with Bambi at all. And yes, and look, I get why she's doing it. Not really.
It's not official yet.
Well, yes. Yeah. It's not really as a calculated career move. It's more so just money. Like that.
No, I disagree.
You disagree?
Because I think it's the idea of like how early Disney animators like who's the Pete Docter and people like him of that time and even earlier than that. They often make deals with Disney. Like you make this for what we want to make. You do it for us, and we'll give you the movie you want to make. But I think it'd be in talks for a deal like that.
I mean, hey, if she does do something like that, then cool, more power to her. But I just have a feeling, though, it's not going to end up that way, just because that's just how Disney is.
Cast Dwayne Johnson as Bambi like the sketch from SNL.
Literally, you have the perfect blueprint right in front of you.
No problem at all.
And like,
we can assume
but also like,
Bambi's mom's death in live action.
But like, what the fuck is it even gonna be? Because Bambi's like 1 hour 10 minutes.
It's
like,
so short.
Are you gonna have them talking? Are they gonna look hyper realistic, or is it gonna be like a nature documentary style where you have hyper realism but there's no talking?
Narrated by Morgan Freeman. The original Bambi is like basically an animation test, essentially.
Yeah.
So,
because that was one. That was one of their first animated films.
Kevin Hart as Bambi. Let's go.
Yeah, that's the only choice.
That's the news, right? Kevin Hart's name, that's official, right? Totally. We have Woody and Buzz news, because Woody and Buzz are both coming back for Toy Story 5. I'm fine with Toy Story 5, but not if they're both coming back.
Yeah, it's a weird
thing.
Toy Story
4 was the end of Woody, possibly. Like, we did that, it's done. At least the end of Woody to be with Buzz and that gang. Unless this, give me the gay romance story of Woody and Buzz finally coming together. Buzz leaves the toys and he's to find his true love of Woody. That's what I'm asking for here. You on board, Josh?
I mean, it would be a choice.
I mean, they're called toys already. Sorry.
But I'm just wondering, like, at this point, like, what can you do? Because Woody's gone through his whole arc. Like,
did you not catch my sex joke, Josh?
No, I did. I just chose to not acknowledge it.
Oh, that's so mean. I'm trying to make you giggle. yeah, I agree. Woody's done his whole arc already. Buzz has too. Well, Buzz hasn't really had much of an arc the past few films.
So I mean, I'm
fine.
I guess this could be it for
this
that.
Is Buzz's end of the journey now, I guess.
But then, like, who's next? Rex?
Yes. Then it's Mr. Potato Head.
And
then Slinky Dog.
And I understand why they're doing this. They're not necessarily doing it because they want to do it. They know that if they do it, it will make them money, and they'll be able to use that money to finance more original stuff. I get it. I just don't like it.
I have no thoughts. Just why? I give a nay. Because I'm intrigued, at least. But still a nay.
I will give it a yay, only because I know that they'll use the like $1 billion they'll earn from it, so that way they can give us more original stuff.
You know what? Actually, yay, because there's not a single bad Toy Story film.
Correct.
Because I'm not going to be mad. People say Toy Story 4 is bad. No, it's not. You just grew up.
It's one thing if you don't like it. I understand that. But, like, you know, it's not bad.
Yeah, you literally just grew up and you're no longer a kid anymore. That's fine. Whatever. But confusing yay or nay. Nay because why, but yay because they're not a bad one. I'm going to land on the nay still, but it means nothing.
Does anything mean anything?
This Do you like Paddington? Question.
Who doesn't?
I haven't seen Paddington 2 still.
You fool!
We have Paddington 3 news, Josh.
Paddington 3?
Yeah, we're getting a third one. Are you ready for it? You want it right now?
I am always up for full. Ah, I'm dying.
People are saying, we didn't, the replies, they're like, we don't ask for a Paddington 3. And people are saying, who is we?
Who is this we you speak of? If you're saying you don't want a Paddington 3, then that means you have not seen the Paddington movies.
What I think is funny is that it was a ratio tweet of dozens and dozens and dozens more likes versus that one's like, who's we? It's like, yeah, we all want Paddington 3. The news of this, we got three casting things, potentially. Sally Hawkins, who played the mom in the first two, is leaving the role. She'll not return.
That is sad.
Emily Mortimer will be taking over the role, according to Variety.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. It's also not a complicated part, regardless. So I'm not really mad about whoever has it or not. Not that it's a bad part for anyone. It's just you know, it's not like it's going to be Citizen Kane. That's what I meant to say. I meant to say Citizen Kane. Hold on, let me back up. It's not going to be a part that's like super, super intellectually challenging. So I don't really care who does the role as long as they do a good job. You know?
Yeah.
Then we also have amazing casting news with Olivia Colman will be in it.
Love it. She better be the villain. Oh, that'd be so much fun.
Also, this movie will be going back to Peru. No, that's a spinoff. Never mind. Also, why is the Paddington in Peru movie with almost no Peruvians cast as Peruvian bears?
It's fine.
Hollywood. Also for Paddington 3, Rachel Zegler is currently in talks to star in it.
Hell to the yes on that.
Would you enjoy that?
I love Rachel Zegler to be in everything. The only reason I will accept the Snow White remake is because she's playing Snow White. That is it.
Is it because you think she's pretty?
Look, man, there's a lot of factors into my into my decisions.
Respectfully, yes, she's pretty.
Respectfully, yes, but also respectfully, she's an amazing actress, and I love everything she's done.
She's great. West Side Story was bonkers. Wow, amazing.
She was.
Yes, I just said bonkers.
She was fucking robbed of an Oscar nomination for that.
Well, that movie had some bad stuff going for it.
I'm aware, but it still got the a lot of Oscar nominations it deserved.
Yeah, she wasn't invited to the Oscars at first. It was a whole deal and all that stuff.
That was fucking insane.
Our last bit of the other news category is that Netflix has officially started launching a pop-up restaurant named Netflix Bites. Do not go if you support WGA. It is right outside the picket lines, and it's meant to be kind of an owning a winning against them, it seems like.
The amount of money that company like has to be hemorrhaging like is insane. Like you look at like all the shows that they make and you know all the movies, you add up how much like the budgets for all those, and it's just like in the billions like every year.
It's very funny to me that they chose to do this instead of like the password sharing stuff.
Because they know that they need money, they need as much as of it as possible, and they're not going to sell their shows and movies like on DVDs. They're not going to put their movies in theaters. They're barely going to sell any merchandise. And I don't really get. It's more so out of spite than anything else.
Also, yay or nay to the Netflix Bites popping up?
Nay.
It's a dumb decision. I mean, pop up shops are generally okay to me. I don't mind, but because the timing of this, the reasoning behind like it's icky.
Very.
But Marvel news. We have a whole few things. Let's start with Captain America. Got a new movie name in Brave New World over New World Order. Because New World Order is an anti-Semitic conspiracy group and like theory and stuff and a whole thing about all that. Rooted in Nazism.
It took me too damn long to put the two and two together on the name title. And once I finally put it together, I'm like, oh, no.
So I'm really glad they changed that title.
Yeah.
But also, it also proves that Marvel does not hire enough Jewish people to know that. Like, yep. If you had one person who was Jewish in the room, they would be like, that's not good. I'm glad they changed it. Because Jewish people online have been asking us for a while now. And like, they actually listened, it seems like. And I'm glad. The reveal picture is a very cute picture of Harrison Ford and Anthony Mackie. Yes. Having a good time. On to the news about Harrison Ford of that movie, though. It's a very funny thing. It's very Patrick Stewart-esque. Harrison Ford was asked on if he will turn into the Red Hulk in Captain America Brave New World. And he said, what is a Red Hulk? And I 100% think you think he was doing a Patrick Stewart.
Who
is Doctor Strange?
The press junket for this movie is going to be the best because they're going to put Harrison Ford through the ringer, like asking about like, who's your favorite Marvel character? And like all these questions that I know for a goddamn fact that man does not have an answer to. And it's going to be beautiful.
He does seem genuinely happier than lately.
Like it seems like that, like he's playing a role that he can at least have fun with. Like it seems like.
But I hope he Red Hulk solely so we could have him in a mocap suit.
I it's gonna happen. I have a
we
like,
keep
I'm,
saying it.
But I'm 95% sure it's gonna happen in some form, and I want those pictures so bad. If you have those pictures, please send them to me. I will pay you $2.
Also, Sam Jackson said like this past month that apparently on Marvel sets they've shot down drones before, people trying to get pictures.
It's fucking insane.
Like, that's wild.
The whole secrecy thing, I get it to a certain degree.
Well, because it gets out of hand. It's crazy. It's,
that shit's insane. Like,
people shouldn't be flying drones overhead.
And this, but it's not just like the whole drone shooting down thing. It also causes a lack of quality to how they can shoot the movies. Because if you have, you know, these big actors and stuff, and you want to keep it a secret, you can't film with, like, you know, giant, you know, crowds of extras and stuff like that, or like out in the open in the streets and stuff. Because, you know, anyone could take a photo of it, and because of that, they're like, all right, green screen, limited number of actors, and like all this stuff. I'm like, that makes it worse. That makes it more boring.
That's why I'm glad that, like, in A Far From Home, Beginning of No Way Home, they actually were in New York City just having fun. That's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, Harrison Ford recently said he was asked if he would retire, and he said he doesn't feel, he wants to feel like he wants to always be working because he doesn't like the feeling of not feeling useful. I'm like, that's really sad. I'm like, Harrison Ford, first off, you don't need to be useful. You could just be you. You could just, it's not useless to just not be working. What a boomer mentality. Not in a mean way. Like, genuinely, that's a painfully rooted thing that it generationally isn't the greatest. You don't have to be working all the time. We're glad you want to keep acting, but don't do it to, you know, not feel useless. That's just sad. But yay for him saying, what's a Red Hulk? I 100% think he's messing around. Because you have to know a little bit.
Yeah, like, and even like with the secrecy of the scripts and stuff, like, there's still, you know, even if you get the day of, like, you're gonna know that you're doing, you know, something like that.
Also, you know your character playing. I'm sure someone in his life has told him, hey, that character plays a Red Hulk. Someone has told him that in the comic, about his character in the comics.
Yeah.
It's impossible to not know. But onto the whole Hulk thing and the, you know, the Marvel-y, creepy, maybe government stuff, we got Secret Invasion that just started.
Yes.
Have you watched any of it yet?
I have seen the first episode. I haven't watched the second one yet. So far it's a good start.
I've had spoilers already, but that's just the internet.
Yeah.
But we also got with that AI credits.
Oh lord. It's bad.
It's awful. It's so bad.
Not just from an ethical perspective, but it just looks fucking terrible. And you could, you know, say the whole like, oh, it's supposed to look that way. Then fucking hire artists to make it look that way.
Right, exactly. That's my whole point, is that it does look bad, and it was supposed to look weird and bad and often, like Uncanny Valley and stuff. But the whole thing is, artists could do that for you. You can have an artist accomplish the same effect of what AI would do.
And And, you know, like, you know, to the people that for some reason are saying, like, oh, it doesn't take any jobs away, you can literally look at the credits listing on, like, on literally any of the other Marvel shows at, you know, the title sequence directors and stuff like that, and compare it to this one. Jobs are gone because of it.
It sucks. But also, to train the AI to do something, it has to look through hundreds and thousands of different images and stuff by other artists,
and
usually without their consent.
Yes, so not only is it stealing, you know, their art, it's creating bad art, but also now, because there's so much AI art, it's starting to pull from AI art, and it's starting to just fucking cave in on itself.
It's, like, incestuous.
It's bad.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, how, like, if incestuous bloodlines, it's going to be, if you mix it yourself, it's going to become more problems, more gross as it goes down. And the more AI art it gets fed to AI art, things get worse, and that's what's going to keep happening. Also, it's just fucking unethical and looks bad. Like, just what? Sam Jackson, Nick Fury news. You like him, right?
He's pretty neat.
According to the Hollywood Reporter, Samuel L. Jackson doesn't plan to retire from playing Nick Fury at all. Just that's it. Like, awesome. Because as long as Nick Fury doesn't get killed, like, he's been, they've tried. Winter Soldier happened. He's been dusted. This man doesn't get down. So I'm cool with it.
I'm cool with him playing him as long as it makes sense.
How old is Sam Jackson? I'm looking it up now. I think he's not young.
I think he's in his 70s.
He's 74.
Okay.
Oh, he's been doing that since he was in his 60s. That's how math works.
No, late 50s.
Really?
15 years ago. 2008.
Oh my god. Wait.
We're John. Old. We're old, Sean. Deal with it.
No, stop it. Oh, you know, Tom Holland was announced as casting 8 years ago.
That's so insane.
Josh, ready for El Muerto news?
I don't know. It's a good El Muerto news? Because there's only it's one... Did you say it's... Or are you about to say it's neutral?
It's numerous.
Oh, okay.
It has been delayed indefinitely due to the writer's strike.
Oh, no. Not my precious El Muerto.
Initially, it was because it was unknown if they'd have Bad Bunny back due to his tour schedule. But now, officially, he'll be recast.
Oh, no.
So that way they could move on. They also have a few actors starting in the role for Tombstone, who's an amazing character in villain, so I hope they actually use that character. It's Sony. We just watched the Kraven trailer. We gave that too much optimism beforehand. So
I did not give it optimism beforehand. I don't know what you're talking about.
We said before it could be good because
could be. That's Kraven's not the
character
same.
You could do. Like that's a character that does not necessarily need Spider-Man as much as other ones do.
El Muerto is literally in two fucking comics, so this is the most funny one to me.
What's also why it could work, because you don't need, you can, there's so much you can build with the character, but you also probably need Spider-Man. Just saying.
Look, I don't want this movie in any way, shape, or form. I want it to stop.
They've been building the Sinister Six, Josh, for so long.
Have they, though?
Yeah, totally. Venom.
The fact that Alfonso Cuarón's son is directing it just sends me, like, that's insane. It's just like, your dad has made some of the most incredible films of the past decade, and you're about to make El Muerto.
I don't blame him for taking a job.
I don't blame him for taking a job, but why this job?
Would you take this job if you were offered it?
I don't know. Probably not.
Liar.
If I had an established directing career, which he has, then no, I probably wouldn't, because I'd be like, no, I'm going to wait for something better.
If you tomorrow were asked to do that film, would you say yes?
I have many questions, but yes, I'm at the point in my life where I'm allowed to sell myself out and be fine.
Tom Holland said he would love to see Miles Morales in live action in an upcoming Spider-Man movie. He said, and I quote, "I would be honored to bring Miles Morales into the live action world. How we do that, I don't know. But given the opportunity, I would jump at it." End quote. Awesome.
Ah, what the hell?
Awesome. Yes, I agree. Cool.
I want it to happen. And if it happens, will Peter Parker die? That's the real question.
For another time.
Oh, Lord.
This Peter Parker has been through it. But cool. Yay. I agree with Tom. And we already have Aaron Davis in the MCU.
Yes.
So, cool. Yeah. But also, more Tom Holland stuff. Crazy. He said that he was the best at keeping secrets for No Way Home.
And you look back at it, yeah, he was. He didn't spoil anything.
He also didn't. I don't think he spoiled anything ever, really, on the MCU.
It was more so like really small things, and then people kind of like played it up as a joke.
He has been asked before, he's like, biggest spoiler is like, he said before, name one thing I would spoil. No one ever can. It's like, he was like, he jokingly said one thing once, but being in space, and blew it up so much. Like, that was kind of a known thing at this point, but okay.
Well, he did reveal, like, very early on that Spider-Man was getting a trilogy.
Yeah, I don't even consider that. That's just, like, a discussion point.
But still, that kind of, like, you know, confirms, you know, the character's fate.
Sure. But anyway, the thing he said about No Way Home was, Andrew got caught ordering food, Toby got caught somehow, Alfred Molina was telling people in the supermarket and he was doing that he was doing Spider-Man, and Willem Dafoe got photographed at the airport.
And so, Jamie Foxx literally posted on his Instagram like
the first week of being cast.
Yeah, but I
remember that post.
I'm really glad though that Marvel just leaned into it even harder, because I think that made it a much better like marketing for the film than it ever could have been. Because weren't they just going to market it as Doctor Strange versus Spider-Man? Wasn't that their original plan?
Yeah,
that would not have done well.
I also think it's interesting that the Andrew Garfield had to be asked every single day, because he was promoting Tick, Tick, Boom at the time.
He was promoting multiple films.
I know, but like that was the time that he was really he was like on Fallon stuff for. And like, he's going to be asked. That sucks. But yeah, Tom, you're right. Yay to both things you said here. You seem chill. Now, Josh, are you ready for my probably 10-minute rant?
I am so curious to see what your thoughts are on this topic, because I already know what it is.
So, I am, if you're not aware, probably the biggest fan you'll ever meet of the show Avatar The Last Airbender. Also, I guess spoilers for a 15-year-old show, I'm sorry. Go watch it. It's amazing. I have the 15-year-old box sets, the original discs. I have plushies. I have the Jasmine Dragon t-shirt. Of course, merch doesn't make anything. I used to be able to quote the entire show pretty much word for word as it went. I can go. I actually probably still can if I have it on, but I used to be able to do it without having it on. Just like quote episode to episode. If you ask me any question, I'll probably know the answer. So, when we got the Netflix live action pictures from Tudum, I was refreshing my page every single minute for hours on end, waiting to see these pictures or trailer. I was mad we didn't get an actual trailer. We got a teaser of just the elements. And granted, they look fine. They look accurate, right?
The water is water.
The symbols look accurate to the symbols in the show, and they look kind of cool. I will note that the air symbol on this list looks like the air door in the Southern Air Temple, minus the piping. So
that means
that's cool.
That means nothing to me.
Book one, chapter three, the Southern Air.
You don't have to get specific about an air symbol on a door.
It's important.
I know it's important to the story.
Oh, we also got episode lists, but I don't even have time to go through that today. That's maybe next week. Let's talk about Aang, because my boy he's there. Gordon Cormier, I think that's how I pronounce it, or Cormier.
That's a great question.
He'll be playing Aang. He is a child, which is a good casting.
I would hope that the 12-year-old child is played by a child.
Yes, which I'm really glad about, because people were talking about how they might age them up to like 16, 17, or 21. I'm like, that's not a good idea. They didn't do it. This costume. You want the pictures? I have all the pictures. You want
I'm looking at the pictures.
Cool. Let's go through the list.
Oh, Lord.
All my thoughts. I will say, before I get mobbed, I was once challenged to write a good positive thoughts on the live action film by Shyamalan. And I did. And my thoughts were not on the story or characters, mind you. I stand by that the costume design is a highlight in that movie. Because when you adapt a cartoon to live action, you have to think of it often in a realistic way. And I think of the live action movie, the tattoos were, well, at the time I hated them when I was 9 years old. They're blue. Why are they not blue? Growing up, I'm like, oh, they're designed after actual religious script tattoos in real life that are used. And I wish they did something like that a bit more here. Like that felt lived in. Don't be worried. My praise for this movie will be brief. I'm saying it right now. Josh knows it's a bad movie.
Yes, I've sadly seen it for myself,
and I've watched it with you. You know I don't think it's a good movie, but the set design, the costume design, and the score are all brilliant in the movie to me, for the most part. I have some caveats to that, but that's not not a right now thing. The design of each individual outfit in the movie felt lived in, cultural, and real, authentic. The Aang outfit was something an actual like monk would wear. The water tribe outfits, they weren't blue over the coats because they were like actual pelt based, which were not normally blue. The underneath were more blue, and I would have loved to see maybe some making paints or something, some dyes to show that how they get the color in the middle of the ice. But so let's compare that a bit to the TV show we see right now, the new live action Netflix show. The tattoo, I actually have a whole rant on it in a minute, don't worry. It's cool. I like that it's blue still. The arrow maybe looks a little bit too far down on the head because it looks a little weird to me. I don't know what makes it feel off, but a little too far down. The fact that they kept it super blocky, I'm not a huge fan of, but it's still kind of cool. If you zoom into it, though, there is a wavy design to it inside, flowing kind of like air, and I dig that. And there's a lot of swirling to it, which is like the Air Nomad symbol is swirls. That's cool. I like that. I like the clasps on the shawl he's wearing. And it makes it feel like it's an actual kind of weathering protection, which is nice. The coloring is much like that of Tibetan monks, which specifically like the Dalai Lama type of monk. The clothing is very, very similar to that with the colors. I love that detail. It is pretty much a one-to-one replication of the cartoon live action, which I don't think is always the best plan. I think it works well for some of the other characters in this list more than Aang, but overall still a really, really strong look. The staff that we see right now is just a wooden stick. There's no like ornate design to it. There's nothing really more to it, which I would have liked a bit more design there. The tying on the shawl around the arms is nice instead of just being complete strings around. So far I see no purpose to the sash or belt around his waist. Kind of looks like a cummerbund. I think maybe the idea here is to help with aerodynamics, because it might be a shirt and pants separation, and that maybe will help tie down. So when you're flying around with air, it allows for a more streamlined flight or air use. I'm so sorry, Josh. I've been waiting for years for this. And I love all of that. I think it's really cool. But my biggest problem with this costume, most costumes on this list so far to me, is they feel like that. They feel like costumes and less of lived-in cultural clothing right now. Granted, seeing them in motion might help more, or seeing them on clearly not green screen backgrounds might help more. Because these are clearly green screen backgrounds for a lot of them, it looks like. So again, I think I prefer the scripted kind of religious text tattoo, like the original. But the good thing about here If you notice the color, it looks, the tattoo looks very fresh still. The paint doesn't look, the ink doesn't look faded yet, which makes sense because in the episode of The Storm, which happened not long ago, in for Aang's world, he was frozen like a few days after that took place. He was teaching all his friends the air scooter, a move that he made. And the air scooter is, a lot of people believe that's what allowed him to become a master, is him developing a whole new technique with air. And so that being fresh, the tattoo is actually a really, really nice touch because it would be fresh relatively within, you know, a month or so probably. Do you have any thoughts on this picture, Josh, of Aang?
He looks like Aang, and I think it looks cool.
Cool.
My thoughts are very simple with all this stuff.
The collar also being still pointy, I think it was ridiculous. Like it is in the cartoon, that made me laugh. I saw, I'm like, that's an interesting detail. Because I've also drawn Aang many, many times. I'm like, this is just Aang. Like, it looks like the character, but it also looks like a really high-quality cosplay right now. At least the movie to me looked like a realistic version of the character. This to me feels more like a cosplay at this point. Seeing it in motion will probably help a lot. Although the actor exudes Aang energy in every clip I've ever seen him in.
Yes.
So I'm so excited for that. Moving on to our buddy Zuko. That's how you pronounce it, right? Totally.
Probably.
First thing everyone looks for when you see Zuko is a scar. I want to hear your thoughts on the scar, Josh, before I say anything.
I'm not going to give much judgment to it because we only see like part of his eye. We don't see like his whole face. So it could be like that there is more to it. So I'm going to reserve my judgments for it until
it's
we can see.
It's not much.
from what we've seen, like it's not much, but granted also they're probably going for a more realistic like look of it. Again, we don't see the whole face. So there could be more. There could be like singed hair and stuff like that. We don't know yet.
Zuko's costume is so far the best to me. It feels the most lived in authentic, like kind of costume we've seen it here so far, the four we see. I truly love it. It does, again, some parts that look a little more cosplay-ish, like the on the helmet with the leather all coming off of it, the gold on it looks like a fan did that kind of golding trim. But other than that, that's really good. I love the wear and tear on the Fire Nation emblem. I love they kept the top knots that they used in the movie too on the helmet. That's actually really good. A good design in the helmet was the top knots, because the top knots are very important in Fire Nation culture, as they're based in like ancient Japanese culture, and I love that detail. It does worry me that Zuko himself won't have his top knot. I want to see bald head Zuko in book one, minus the top knot. Because I actually think his hair is, I've written an essay on this before, the hair in Zuko, and the hair in Avatar in general is very symbolic, and his hair transformation is very, very important, reflecting his character. So I'd love to see if they get that in live action. If they don't, whatever. But I'd prefer it.
I am, again, reserving judgment because we just see him with a helmet on.
I'm trying to be specific and have my full thoughts, Josh.
I know. I'm just saying mine.
I think it's funny that they had the pointy shoulder pads here. As you can see, they're covering up on the shoulders. And the reason it's funny is because in book one of the show, they bring out an old Fire Nation uniform. And they're like, the shoulder pads aren't that pointy anymore. They're more streamlined. And then here they're pointy. I think it's a fun detail. I like that the red is on a sash here, like a belt area, and less so all over. It's more like he's worn this for a long time, because there's red trimming, it seems like, on the armor, but it's been worn down and rusted. That's a nice technique. In fact, on the helmet itself, the main helmet part, it looks like there's no actual red design. It looks like there's just rust to make the red. And I love that, because he's been at sea for about 3 years at this point. So, love it. My Banished Prince, he's pretty cool. And that's Dallas Liu playing him. And he seems to also exude the energy I need for the character. And he really gets along well with Paul Hyung-seo. How do you pronounce his name? Who plays Iroh?
Let me see.
He's in the Kim's Convenience. I'm looking at how to...
Paul Sun-hyung Lee. I could be butchering it.
Paul, I want to get his name right, because it's, yeah, okay. It's Paul Sun-hyung Lee, or Young Lee. Okay. He is a great actor, and I am excited for his Iroh. He actually did a picture recently with Greg Baldwin, who voiced Iroh in book three, because Mako passed away and he took over. They got beers together, took drinks, and had fun. The two Irohs. Love that. Zuko, looking good. Now we're moving on to the two I have most trepidation about so far, I think, in terms of looks. Not the acting yet, I don't know. Again, I'm not judging any acting yet. We get to see Katara. Water bending. What do you think of the water effects so far in this picture, Josh? Do you think it's like the actual effect or just like the poster they did? The actress playing her is Kiowen Teo Tarbell, and
I don't know how to pronounce the name fully. I know it's indigenous, it's native, and I have never been exposed to that to any languages in native culture before. So I have no reference for how to pronounce that name. Do you have any reference for how to pronounce her name correctly?
Sean, you know who I am. What do you think the answer is?
Good point. But she was born into a Mohawk family, and she's very much indigenous, and she looks like, so much like Katara. I'm excited to see what she does. Some people point out her age gap with the actor playing Gordon. That's fair, because she is like now, I think, 16, 17. And I think they're trying to film books 2 and 3 back to back so they could have their kiss scene while they're both underage. So she doesn't age up out of the, and they make that weird.
My theory with that will be they will film that first, or they'll try
to film the end of book 3 first.
Look, I know it would be hard, but out of all of them, the kid playing Aang will probably like age the least in terms of look. And so I think like if they did that, I think they would be fine.
They have a few kisses they have to do in the show. So doing that, okay, out of the way, right away, let's go.
I mean, they've got it. Otherwise, just like, this like very important thing for this character can't happen.
They pull a CG kiss.
I mean, they could.
They could, but again, that, don't get started. Okay, people are saying I've heard a rumor that might do Zutara now instead. That would make so many fans furious at this. That fundamentally changes the entire lore of the characters.
It would make so many people mad, but it would make so many people happy. And I would just be here for the chaos. It would be so funny.
It also would just like change the entire trajectory of everything that it could possibly do with the characters.
Oh, no. I'm fully with you on that. I fully agree. But I just think the chaos of the whole thing would be hilarious.
But Kia Wintio, her Katara, she has her hair loopies. Did you notice that?
She has loopies.
I also noticed, you look behind her hand, you can see her mother's betrothal necklace on her. It looks white in this picture.
Is it not white?
I mean, it's not normal. It's blue. But
I thought you were going to go into a rant about that.
It's weird about this. Okay, actually, I can in a minute. Hold on. So on the symbol, you can't actually see any symbols itself on the necklace, looks like. You can see just a white circle. So a little bit, half white circle. It looks like there's no actual design in it, which would be really weird. I'm sure there is. We just can't see fully here. Like I said before, I think that the idea of having I liked in the movie having the actual like fur coat pelts. I want to know how they get the blue that in the middle of the nowhere. Like most indigenous cultures are like Inuit or around the colder temperatures don't tend to have blue dye. So I would love to see one small scene of them just like mixing some dyes. That's it. Just like, I love small world building details because they did a lot of that kind of stuff in the show. The water effect looks bad to me right now because it's also frozen. It's hard to really make that look realistic when it's frozen, I guess. Like, frozen in air. I also like that hers is the only background where it's just like, we're going to have super blurry random color. Like, the other one's like on location pictures. You know what I mean?
I mean, my guess, this is like when she's at the, wherever the fucking wire place is, the pole. Whatever pole.
Which pole? There's two.
Whichever one they go to. It's been a while since I watched the show.
From the south and goes to the north.
There you go. She's seeing Santa. So my guess is that's where they are at the end.
Master Paku is Santa Claus confirmed.
Am I wrong?
Yes.
You have nothing to prove I'm wrong. So
considering that means Santa Claus is sexist.
Ah. Never mind.
I like this overall, this coat. It's cool. It looks a little more, a little ornate, maybe a bit more detail would have been nice, but it looks interesting. We can't see her sleeves underneath much. We can't see what the actual underneath of the coat looks like in terms of a costume yet, but it's cool. Of course, her costume and Sokka's and Aang's really can't change this show because they're on the traveling entire show.
I kind of want them, though, to have like more costumes in this because obviously, you know,
their stuff is Aang.
He's going into very cold environments. I feel like him wearing something of warmish degrees, I think, would make logical sense.
Maybe like he can get more clothing at Southern Temple when he's there. He can go steal more outfits.
I just want to see more costumes because so far, like, this is good. I want to see what else they can do.
I can guarantee we'll have at least a second Sokka costume based on what we see here.
This is true.
We'll go to Sokka now. I don't love the Katara costume so far. I think it's fine. It looks a little cosplayish to me. But I'm not mad yet. I need to see them in motion. I need to see them doing things.
I need to see how they flow in the wind.
Well, for Aang, absolutely.
Yeah, because he's Wind Boy.
He is Wind Boy. He's the last of the Airbenders. The Sokka costume. Actor Ian Ousley. I'm not going to, first off, I want to mention here, we're not going to discuss his ethnicity in this. It is unclear if he's white or if he's indigenous based on report mixing reports.
It is a very complicated issue that we two white boys don't have the information for.
Right. And Dwarf said that before, he might be, he faces Cherokee tribe nation river, or his parents did, or whatever. I don't know. Only people who actually know are him and his family and that tribe. That's it. And I don't know what it means to be a tribe member or not, or if it's, if ethnicity is more important than biology or family growth. I don't, it's not my decision. That's not my department.
If you are someone that is of that descent, please inform us so that way we can learn, because we don't know things.
Well, the only thing I've ever seen about his, like, the being brought into question is the same one Twitter thread. So I don't know how reputable it is also, you know?
Correct.
Let's talk about the costume and the background, though. I love the background, first off.
I like that they are clearly going to have real sets. I like that.
Yes. Well, there were some pictures I saw a while ago. It's mostly green screen still from the Southern Tribe, looks like.
Well, I mean, it also makes sense just because of the environment they'll be in. Like, I get
filmed,
that.
In the movie, they filmed in the Siberian movie, they filmed in Greenland, which was really cool because it's all snowy and stuff. But also, you can't do that for this Netflix show. The costume itself is clearly his war outfit that he wears when Zuko comes to the tribe. Like, very clearly. It's not his everyday outfit. I love they kept that necklace. It's so stupid. It's like, it's his book two necklace, I'm pretty sure, off of my memory right now. And it's cool that he has it. Their shoulder pads are very furry. It looks like they have wave patterns on them. Cool. I do wish his side of his head were shaved, but I'm fine with it. If you look on his hip, though, you can see the boomerang. I love that. A lot of people have not noticed that detail. There is the boomerang on his hip, ready for battle. Love that. And you mentioned the real sets as well. I love that because I want to see what do these bones come from? Those are very big bones.
You want to know where the bones come from?
All platypus bears.
No.
I'm actually excited to see what these animals look like as well, because they're really cool. You ready to see how disturbing Appa and Momo will look?
I think they're going to go the Detective Pikachu route and make them look very accurate, but very, like, fuzzy and adorable.
I hope so. I never hated the Last Airbender movie look of Appa, but his face was disturbing. Like, you saw from the side, it was fine. I think the hooks on, like, the little ringlets on Sokka's outfit here is interesting. If you zoom in the picture, you can see a little padding all around that it's hooking into. I wonder if it serves a purpose or it's tribal or anything else. Pretty cool. If anyone also is indigenous and can inform any more specifics into it, I'd love to hear more. Because I don't know if it is anything that has specific cultural meaning or references. Like how the movie Black Panther often took their costume design from African tribes around them. I don't know any indigenous tribes or their knowledge or what they are like as much, because our school system failed us. But otherwise, we can see a little bit more of his Sokka's costume underneath his padding, though. Tiny bit of the shirt and stuff, and that's pretty cool. Looks dope. I love the armbands. Ian Elfley, I'm not going to touch on race or anything, but he does look and sound like Sokka to me.
Yeah.
He also is great friends with the rest of the cast, which is good for chemistry for sure. That's my major thoughts on these so far. It's been about 15 minutes we talked about just Avatar, but I've needed this in my life, and I have no other outlet for this. And I'm going to make Josh keep this in because I have no outlet. Yeah, I am really, really excited for this. With trepidation, because I know the original creators left the show. I know that it's 8 episodes total. I know it's a lot of stuff like that. It's like, interesting. Of course, 1 one-hour episode equals 3 of the episodes of the TV show runtime-wise. So you can do a lot. Like, the first episode is called, I think, The Last Airbender in this new show. And that could be in from the original show through the first 3 episodes. That could end at the Southern Air Temple. It could be the Avatar Returns and, you know, The Last Airbender. It could be all 3 of those first episodes. And I'm excited to see what they do with some of this stuff. Like, for instance, they cast Danny Pudi from Community as the mechanist, the one who makes the fun machines in the show, which I think is also amazing casting, by the way. He's amazing. And but there's nothing in that indicates what episode that would be like in the episode title list. So I'm like, I don't know where that's coming in, but it's cool.
I've always been kind of a defender of this, mainly because of how long they've been taking their time with it. Obviously, you know, it's always a worrisome sign, like when the creator, you know, leaves something. It's always worrisome. But I always had faith that they're gonna, you know, not rush it, take their time with it, and give us something, you know, of a decent quality. And especially with the rise in popularity of it during COVID, from it being on Netflix, I think that's incentivized them more to do it justice because of that.
I'm really hoping they do books 2 and 3 combined, which they should.
That'd be very long.
Well, I mean, like, as in terms of filming,
Oh, yeah, they're probably going to do that.
I hope that if they do put the kisses between Katara and Aang early on filming in the call sheet, I really hope that Aang doesn't have growth spurt during the show too much, or if we puberty changes.
Lots of apple boxes will be used.
Well, I mean, because that means they would change if they convince they had the final kiss and they shoot that first. But the show, he might just change how he looks and then it would go back in the last shot to a little kid again. I am giving these a tentative yay, all of them, just as a broad thing. Zuko's is the best costume so far, though. I'm so sorry, Josh.
I'll give it a yay. Of course, I could be wrong in the future. We will find out next year.
Oh, also, I think that the reason the creators left at this point was probably just to make Avatar Studios. It might have been too busy.
It could have been that.
They said they left because of creative differences originally. But it could have been because there's things they want to do in their show that, like, let's just do it in our own show now instead.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Because it was like, wasn't it like when Avatar came out to Netflix? It was like right around that time that they announced that Avatar Studios was being made.
Roughly.
Yeah. So yeah, that falls in line on like the timeline and stuff.
Josh, we're moving into our DC stuff.
Oh, great.
I'm going to just do the easiest stuff first.
Okay.
And that's with Blue Beetle. Got a brand new poster and it looks fucking amazing.
Which poster?
I seen the chat just now.
Eh, it's fine.
I don't like the quality. Exactly. This looks like it'll be an icon or something. Like you click on this to go watch it.
I think it's funny.
It says filmed for IMAX. I thought it said filmed for Max at first, like HBO Max.
When I saw the Flash in IMAX, the trailer played for this. There was no IMAX formatting for it, so I don't think it is. I think it is lying to me.
What is a lie, really? Doesn't matter.
But it's also funny, Dave, you know, at the top they're like, Jaime Reyes is a superhero, whether he likes it or not. That is literally so many other characters, too.
That's just the reluctant hero trope in general of media.
It's a thing that's been done many times. And, you know, the only interesting aspect about Blue Beetle that has me interested is that his whole family knows. Because, like, that's not something that's done too often.
Well, I also like the character, so I'm excited to see what they do with that. I'd like the idea of... He's kind of like Venom in the scare, but back and forth communication. So I'm excited to see more of that. But cool. Josh, I have James Gunn news. I have Peacemaker news.
Peacemaker?
Peacemaker season 2 will begin after Superman Legacy is done.
That doesn't surprise me.
So it's more of a delay, but James is focused on Superman, which is a good sign.
That's a good thing.
Yay. Right?
I give yay.
I'm also going to mention right now, we will not touch, you might have noticed earlier, in the film's release, I didn't mention The Flash. We will not be touching that movie at all in the DC section, really, at all. Okay?
If you want to see thoughts on it, I have a video up on it, and I explicitly say in the beginning, don't go see it. But by the time this comes out, this film is already bombed enough that you probably haven't seen it.
And if you think Josh is being hypocritical, he saw it for free. Don't worry. I'm not seeing it. I'm going to see it on maybe on HBO Max in like 2 months. I don't really care.
You could have watched it on Twitter the other day when someone uploaded it.
That was funny.
And then, like, the Flash, like, film updates Twitter, like, promote it. It's just like, wow, it was viewed, like, 8 million times on Twitter. It's just like, man, that's bad.
I do wish the baby in my grave scene was real.
I fucking lost it when that happened.
Okay. Well, mentioning that Flash stuff, I do need to bring up that we have an official director announcement now. James Gunn chose Andy Muschietti. It also is Muschietti officially, Josh.
Muschietti, okay.
Also, it's Sasha Kaye.
Sasha Kaye, okay.
Kaye, because it's the double L's make a Y sound. We've been saying Kelly in the past. We were uninformed white guys, and we're becoming informed. We gotta learn. If we're saying it wrong still, let us know. I heard Kaye and Kaye both seem better than Kali. So, Andy Muschietti will be directing Batman: The Brave and the Bold, and James Gunn chose him after watching The Flash, and James said, Andy's affinity and passion for these characters and this world just resonates through every frame. There was really only one choice.
Okay, time for me to go into a rant here.
We're not going to do a Flash rant right now, Josh.
This isn't about the Flash. This is about how Batman was used in the movie.
Look at the pictures in the chat.
Yes, I do not think that he is right for this. The Batman.
I've only seen Andy do it 1 and 2.
This is part of it. I think he works better when he has a much smaller scale. The first It movie was done very well because it was on a very small scale, But then when It Chapter 2 came around, the budget, you know, got doubled. It was a lot bigger, had bigger ideas and stuff, required more effects, and it was far worse because of it. The Flash is another prime example of that, but that's also a whole thing of, like, so many hands put on the film and so many other things, so it's not entirely his fault. But also just, I didn't care about any of the characters, like, not Flash's withstanding.
So do you disagree with James Gunn that his affinity resonates through every frame?
Yes! It was a it was a poorly directed movie. Like, I never once bought that either Affleck or Keane were ever in the bat suits, aside from, like, scenes when they were saying words. The fight scenes, there's no weight to any of the characters in the fight scenes. It just is so bland and boring. And Keane's Batman is so poorly written. He has no character arc. He has no real character to him. His whole reason for stopping to be Batman is just like, oh, Gotham is just free of crime now. And so then he just became an old hermit. That's it.
I would say we wouldn't be talking about the Flash at all, Josh.
Too bad. I'm going on to it.
It out though. Just
I'm still just talking about Batman, so it's fine. but his version just never. He doesn't have any character to him. I didn't give two flying fucks about him, and the action scenes, like, weren't good because I never bought that Keane was in the bat suit at all. And, like, I'm not saying that they're choreographed badly. I'm just saying that I didn't feel anything for them.
I will say I don't envy him with this movie because everything that happened, as well as things that, like, the script is written so many different times over and over again. They had to change things in production numerous times as management kept changing. So, like, I don't know what this movie would have been originally.
It's just, it's an unenvious task.
I don't think any Muschietti is the right person for this role, this decision make. I don't think he's the right person for Batman necessarily. Again, I've only seen 8, 1, and 2. I don't think, based on my knowledge of seeing those, he'd be the perfect part for it. That's my only takeaway right now.
I have a feeling after the poor critical and box office reception to The Flash, I'm willing to bet that because of, like, how long it's going to take for this movie to get made, they'll probably replace him or he'll drop out.
He might just move on to their project at some point.
Because he signed a deal with Warner Brothers to, like, produce a lot of stuff for them. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a project comes across his desk that he'll be like, oh, I want to direct that. That seems interesting to make.
Let's now bring into our final news thing, which Josh and I will both probably talk about a lot for a minute. This is probably the most exciting thing that we've gotten. And that's we have officially gotten Superman Legacy casting announcements. Like, no more rumors. We got something. Actually, we do have one more rumor. But we have a lot of announcements. Let's start with the rumor, though. The rumor is that two brothers fighting against one another for a part. Oh. both Alexander and Bill Skarsgård, who I always forget are brothers, they look so different to me, are both on the shortlist to play Lex Luthor in Superman Legacy.
I saw someone say that every other scene they should switch out. Like,
oh my god,
Bill does one scene, the next scene is Alex. I think that'd be hilarious.
Same with Stellan, just all three of them rotating.
It'd be great.
Honestly, I think it should be Nick Holt at this point.
I think he'd be good as Lex. I'm just curious, like, what their approach to Lex is going to be in this universe. Like, what kind of a villain is going to be?
Same as Eisenberg. No difference.
I get, the more I like that performance.
It's just funny. I don't care anymore. I don't care. BVS. Josh and I like BVS at this point. Who cares? It's dead anyway. Snyder even said it. Yay on this rumored list, short list.
If it happens, yay. I don't know who I would prefer, but I just think that both of them would do a good job.
No, that's not the only. That doesn't mean it's the whole short list is just these two people. They are both on the short list. What you heard. I'm sure Nick Holt is still in that short list. But speaking of Nick Holt, he did not get the part of Superman.
Sadly.
A lot of people root for him to play Superman. I am, like, indifferently sure. Because he's the only people out of the list of people who are on that short list who I had seen act. And that was good, so whatever. But we have our Superman Lois officially now. And they both look like Superman Lois, at least. That's great.
Yes.
David Corenswet, who people have been campaigning for literally, like, 6 years straight, I've noticed. Like, for a long time, people are like, he'd be a great younger Superman. And you know what? He is now. Yep. And Rachel Brosnahan, who you might know as Marvel's Mrs. Maisel, as the titular character, she'll be playing Lois Lane. And the movie for Superman Legacy comes out July 11th, 2025, if things go as planned. Cool.
I'm very down for this. I've seen both of them and stuff. I think they will both crush it. I think they'll both be great.
Have you seen Maisel at all?
the first like 20 minutes of the first episode, and from what I saw, I enjoyed it. I saw her in the Benedict Cumberbatch movie, The Courier, and she was really good in that.
And David Cornish, what he's even said before, back in 2019, he said, "I love Henry Cavill, his dark, gritty take, but I would love to see the next one be very bright and optimistic." He said it back in 2019, that same question. He said it was his pie in the sky kid ambition to play the role. Like his biggest dream. Like, it'll never happen. That'd be awesome. And you know what? You got it, David.
You
got it. And I'm glad he does exude Superman. I've seen the clip from, I think it was Hollywood something.
Yes, that was the show he was in.
Yeah, it's just him also talking just like Clark Kent. Reminiscing about life and stuff. Like, and he looked at the part. Like, you know what? I'm sold. Because I was talking to, I think it was you earlier, about wanting a gentler Superman. I was talking to Bueller, a friend of the podcast, Bueller, about this. How I love Henry Cavill, but I never saw him, the truly gentle side of him that I wanted to see from Superman. He should be a gentle giant.
Cavill in real life seems like he would be a gentle giant, but we never really got to see that in his performances. We got to see
shoehorn at the end of Justice League theatrical. We saw it.
Yeah.
And I love Cavill Superman. I don't get it wrong. I've been on record 40 times. I've been on record many times. I love Man of Steel so goddamn much. And Josh likes Batman vs Superman. I do too. He doesn't like Man of Steel as much. But I think that overall, Henry wasn't bad. But we never got to see the farm boy. We never got to see the one who just had fun with his friends and had high school bullies and, you know, lived life in an authentic, gentle way. Even flashback Clark in Man of Steel had angst. I'm like, dude,
that's probably like one of my biggest problems with how they interpreted the character is they lost so much of the humanity that makes Superman so relatable in favor of like, oh, look, he can do cool action now and all that. I'm like, yes, it's cool he can do that, but like, that's not why so many fell in love with the character. They fell in love with him because of the humanity that was in this guy.
Now, I understand if you're protective over Henry Cavill, like that might be your Superman. I get it. Like a lot of people, if you grew up with Christopher Reeve, that's your Superman. So you always think is the best. If Man of Steel came out in your formative years, you'll be like, that's my Superman always. And I get it. I understand that feeling. People who grew up maybe watching Superman Returns over and over again, but like, you know, the two people who did that, they might be like, Brandon Routh, that's my guy. But that's how it always happens. You grow up and you get attached to things you're watching in your formative years. And like, yes, you get like really attached to that. That does not mean go harassing the creators of this. Don't go harassing the cast of this. Because guess what? This character will be played by 1,000 more people later on. Most popular superhero in all the world. We got to move on. We got to let people do the part. It's okay. People who keep calling him a Walmart version of Henry Cavill or knockoff Henry Cavill, like, oh, you want Henry Cavill? We got Henry Cavill at home. You mean Superman?
Like motherfucker, they both look like the goddamn character.
It's like, you're not looking for a Walmart Superman. You're not looking for Walmart Henry Cavill. They found someone who just looks like Superman in a different way. Like, it's just,
and if you say that he can't play Superman because he's not buff, I'm like, look at the photo that Henry Cavill for his audition for Man of Steel. The man was not jacked. Like he got jacked for the performance.
It'd be amazing though, because he got to wear Christopher Reeve's actual suit, screen used for his screen test. Henry Cavill, that's wild to me.
Yeah,
well, the fact that Bale for his screen test wore the George Clooney suit. Yeah, that's crazy. Why does that? That's so weird to me. They don't. Anyway, that's cool. But yes, I agree with you fully. Let them move on. Let us just have things. He'll get buff. Also, Superman doesn't have to be buff. Like, he can be strong without looking gigantic. Look at Christopher Reeve. Look at Brandon Routh. They weren't gigantic.
And if we really want to get technical about this,
he shouldn't be.
Technically, he should be bone skinny. The man should not have muscle, but because, you know, that's how the science of his works. But, you know, because it's a comic book and it's fucking fiction, like, yeah, give him muscles. Who cares?
Well, the reason for that also is that the radiation, like the sun, like inflated his muscles.
Sean, you're defeating my argument here.
No, I understand. But my point is, I do agree with you that he should be whatever size he naturally would be.
Yeah.
Like his genetically, that just, it wouldn't be gigantic because his strength comes from energy, atmosphere, sunlight, you know, these science fiction things.
The sun is science fiction.
The sun, yeah. Yeah, sunlight's not really all. It's a conspiracy. The birds work for the bourgeoisie, you know, whatever. They both also like exude this, I could have been alive in the 40s energy.
Yeah, he really does. Like, because especially, and it's just because like the show Hollywood takes place during that time. But he looks like it feels like he's from the 40s.
Look, I love that. There's a thing I saw was for actors who are in period pieces, do they look like they know what an iPhone is? And Rachel Brosnahan and David Corenswet do not. And that's great.
They do not look like they know what an iPhone is.
Like their face, like Timothy Chalamet, no, he looks like a Victorian child.
I don't know why, but I feel like Superman as a character, for some reason, like, wouldn't get an iPhone. He would just have a flip phone all his life. He just seems like he's the kind of guy to do that.
He also has the curls. He looks like if you combined Tom Welling from Smallville with Henry Cavill, and I love that. He's got a Brandon Routh like a bit to him. It was like, but his eyebrows. Like, he's all the actors combined kind of, and he looks like an AI interpreted Superman in real life. You get him. And that's not a praise of AI. That just means it's a praise of his casting. Yay. Yay, yay, yay. I can't say yay enough on this. Again, I'm not even seen him act yet, but I've seen clips of him, and he feels like the character.
I've only seen him in Pearl. The man exudes charisma, so I'm excited to see what he's like.
What's funny to me is look-wise and feel-wise, it feels like he could be a contemporary to Robert Pattinson's Batman if that was the same universe.
That's true.
Like, I'm like, y'all just combine now. We got your buddy. That would be so funny if they just said, actually, Batman Brave and Bold is canceled. We now have the Batman 2 as the movie.
It's Lord, that's gonna be so fun and confusing.
Oh, I know. Like, when people see Batman Brave and Bold, why was he recast? No. Gah. But yay. Josh.
What?
Josh, that's our show.
It is?
That's all, that's it.
Crazy.
We had news. This was not maybe our jokey one we've done so far, but I had fun.
It's interesting always talking about these things.
I am excited to see where this universe goes. Also, it feels weird saying DCU, because also Detective Comics universe does not feel right.
Detective Comics universe. It's Chai T is just Chai. You're saying T twice.
I've ranted about this with many, many times about DC Comics.
Yeah.
Man, it's so stupid. But also, DCU is also stupid, because I mean, it's not the universe. It's not the DC universe. It's the DC Cinematic Universe, because it's different from the comics universe. So, whatever.
It should be the DC squared U.
The DCCU. Unless the D stands for DC. The C is cinematic, and the U is universe.
Look, no matter what they do, they're not going to win.
Well, DCEU, at least it flowed better than me.
I still don't like it.
No, it's also dumb. Josh, where can people find you online?
Oh, I'm at places. I'm at YouTube at Josh Rudolph, Twitter, @_Rudy28, and Instagram at @Rudy16.
And you can find me on TikTok and Instagram at @ThatNerdInTheater. And you can find me on Twitter at @TheTheaterNerd. And you can email the show You can email the show at podgeekspeak@gmail.com or tweet at us with #GeekSpeakPod. Oh, we also have a subreddit now.
We do?
We have a subreddit. So if you are at all interested in going to it, it's reddit.com/r/geekspeakpod. There are two members there currently. So y'all can join the subreddit. But yeah, you can go join the subreddit if you want to just post or talk about the episodes or give us ideas, whatever. You can do that there. And you can tweet us with #geekspeakpod or geekspeakpod on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. It's been a fun one. It's been a long one, but Josh is going to have fun editing it.
Woo!
Woo! Next episode, in theory, is Fast and Furious. No, it's probably not. Next episode, we might have a guest on of Bueller, because he has a new movie coming out, an Indiegogo campaign. So, that's fun.
Woo!
Woo! Josh?
What?
Embrace your inner banana. And remember, Incrediboy! I'm not affiliated with you.
I'll take those words to heart.
You can stop recording now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.